You're like, yeah. I may not have it all together, but I have Jesus Christ and I'm a child of God and he has set me free from my sin. And there's never a time where I'm too far away from God to be used of him, to be restored and strengthened and see great victory in my life, whether it be a dad or a husband or just a man who wants to serve the Lord with my life. There's never a time you are too far away from God's grace. And that is truth. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is truth.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're thankful that you are here today in the middle of our series entitled The School of Faith. We've been walking for the past several days looking at Elijah's life and the many lessons that God taught him and us about his faithfulness. And we're watching and trusting that your faith is growing at the same time. Well, Robbie, today it's an important message for all of us, right?
Yeah, it is. It's one that we all should relate to, and I believe we all will relate to. You know, I mean, Craig, we've been in ministry long enough to know the temptation towards discouragement is ever so real. And the temptation towards, we've got to be honest, despair and at times depression is also real. And that's why in my life, I've been so thankful for people who've gone before me, have testified to the fact that they've also been tempted with the same thing. God uses that. And it's been powerful men and women who have been used by God, but in scripture as well. And that's what we see today, all the way back, such a millennia ago, you know, the life of Elijah is in that place where he's also tempted with the reality and the seriousness of depression. So, hey, loved ones, if you find yourself in that place, and if not now, at some point you will be encouraged. In some ways, it's kind of funny to say, but be encouraged by the discouragement of others, because in their discouragement, they find encouragement in the Lord, and we are called to do the same.
All right, may it be so. Let's go to our Bibles now in 1 Kings 19, again with the School of Faith, and here's our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Now, here's where we get some interesting insight into the marriage of Ahab and Elijah. Ahab knows better. Ahab is doing what Elijah has told him to do. Ahab has seen Mount Carmel. Ahab saw fire from heaven. Ahab saw all his prophets killed. Ahab really, if he's on, he knows there's one true God, and this one true God has fully displayed himself at this time. But he walks in, he tells Jezebel, Jezebel threatens to kill Elijah. Ahab says nothing. He doesn't stand up to his wife. He probably can't, because we know that Jezebel's leading Ahab is some kind of, I mean, this is Father's Day, you know, don't be this guy, right? I mean, he knows what's right, and he's a wimp. He's a spiritual wimp, and he says nothing, and Jezebel goes off, and I mean, really, Ahab's like, honey, actually, God is awesome, and like, he's totally gonna win, and so let's not fight against this God, because we'll never win, and Elijah is a servant, and maybe we should think of a different plan, trying to kill his servant, you know, but he says nothing. And it's interesting here, as we see, we turn now from Ahab and Jezebel, we turn now from Elijah's perspective. Elijah has come to Jezreel with great expectation. After all, the tide has turned. Ahab is humbled on some level. Surely the nation will turn as well. The leadership will come to its senses. And Jezebel, she must repent when she finds out what really happened. Surely Jezebel will repent or not. Now right here, okay, watch this. His expectation of what was about to happen, Elijah, cue right here when it's not met, massive disappointment. Okay? He's expecting through the mountaintop of joy something to occur because it just makes sense. But then all of a sudden he's met with a slap in the face of not only is it not going in the favor now of what you think is gonna happen, but now your life is now threatened again to be killed. So here's the principle. It's very, very important of the path to spiritual discouragement. What Elijah is facing is when my expectations are not met with God's reality. Be very careful. It's when my expectations are not met with God's reality. Because Elijah, I mean, he has a case. He can say, God, all I've done has been faithful. All I've done is exercise faith. All I've done is pray. All I've done is dependent upon you. I have done, God, everything you asked me to do. And here I am, and fire came down, and evil's being eliminated. And now I go, and I confront again, and now my life is being threatened to be killed. He could say, God, what do I have to do? Can I ever win, God? Can I ever win? And he would have a point on some level. But this, see, this now is the danger of disappointment. When we put all our eggs in the basket of righteousness, and rightly so, but the basket bottom falls out. And then what do? What does Elijah do? If we're not careful, it can lead to tremendous discouragement. There's so many examples in our lives. It's the perfect job. We almost have it, and the last minute it falls through. It's the prodigal child that still has not returned to the Lord. It's the family that still is hostile and fighting and battling through unforgiveness. It's the checkup at the doctor that brings with it terrible news, something that has devastated us. It's the loved one that passes away. It's the heartache of our soul that just won't leave. It's the investment that completely crumbles and leaves us devastated. So you know what? It's Elijah's turn right here to expect the unexpected. But he wasn't ready. And love, and see this. See how much emotion comes with disappointment. See how, when we're looking at it from our lens, how much emotion comes with this. You know, interesting, the top three synonyms for disappointment, looked it up in a thesaurus. The top three synonyms for disappointment: failure, defeat, frustration. That kind of surprised me. Disappointment, failure, defeat, and frustration. And of course, in our lives, it's not if disappointment will come, it's when. And so the question is, are we ready? Well, Elijah wasn't ready. See, this is why our theology must understand, in this world, life is imperfect. But that's why we live for the life that will be perfect. See, if we expect perfection on any level here, we're setting ourselves up for massive disappointment. Life is hard. Things happen. We just can't anticipate it. We don't know what to expect. But why we ultimately live, and why we groan, and why our bodies groan, why the earth groans, because we're longing for that which will be perfection without sin in Jesus Christ. You see, we're not living for now ultimately. We're living for the eternal life found in Jesus Christ, heaven, new heavens, new earth. That's our longing. That's why our theology must be so sound. Because otherwise we set ourselves up for unrealistic expectations, and we're not ready for the disappointments in life. And if we're not ready for disappointment, then it can lead to this. Second D, dread. Dread. Look at verse 3. So Elijah, he says, then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Okay, notice this, ready? This is good insight here. This is the first time that Elijah moves without hearing from the Lord first. Okay, all throughout his life, he heard a word from the Lord and he went. But here, he's confronted with the threatening of his life, and he doesn't ask, he doesn't hear, he just goes. And the guiding emotion to his impulsive horizontal behavior, it wasn't faith, it was fear. It was fear, and it's fear that fills our hearts, which leads to dread. So in verse 3, it says that he ran for his life. Wait, time out. 10 verses ago, this was the guy that summoned fire from heaven. This is the same guy that saw the province of Baal destroyed. 10 verses ago, he stood up one man against a whole nation. And then 10 verses later, he's running from his life from one woman. How does that make any sense? Disappointment, fear, dread. Fear is such a powerful emotion. It gets us to do things we would never think we would do. And it controls our desires, and it controls our actions. And where does he go? He goes to Beersheba. That's 100 miles away. Think about this too. Here's what Spurgeon said about this right here. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, Elijah is retreating from a defeated enemy. Like, the prophets, they're all dead, man. Like, they just won. What more do you want to see? But he's running away from an army that has been slain. That's what fear does. That's what spiritual discouragement can do. We don't see right. We don't feel right. We act without really knowing what we're doing. Fear makes us do crazy things. It causes us to panic. It makes us worry. Fear shuts down faith. Fear is like an infection that enters into our body. And if left unchecked, the infection tries to spread and attack the health of our systems. What faith does, faith fights against this. Again, all that Elijah has seen in God's favor, now he's running. Now he's running. It says he was afraid, he arose, and he ran. He ran. Okay, notice what happens here. Okay, ready? Path for spiritual discouragement, depression. Disappointment dread, fear. Third D, detachment. Detachment, isolation. Okay? So you're so disappointed, you're filled with such fear now, and now you run away from all that you really should stay close to. This is very dangerous. So in verse 3, and he left his servant in Beersheba. So 100 miles wasn't far enough. So he leaves his servant there, whoever that was, and then he goes on a day's journey into the wilderness, not for a personal spiritual retreat. This was getting away from the reality of life. Proverbs 18, verse 1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Whoever isolates himself breaks out against all sound judgment. I can't tell you how often Satan's strategy is to isolate a sheep from the flock that they may be incredibly vulnerable, that the devil that prowls around like a lion will devour them. When you are tempted towards isolation and detachment, you must fight it with all you've got. We are designed for the community of God. We are designed to be in a place we can be encouraged and loved and supported and cried with and hugged and cared for and corrected. Be very careful though when you're tempted to separate yourself from the fellowship of God. When it comes to spiritual discouragement, it often starts small, but then the downward spiral can go down very quickly when one deed is left unmet and then the next and the next and the next. And then you get yourself down this spiral of negativity and all of a sudden you're pretty far down. It's hard to go back up now. It's like the person who's been attending our church and they're fully involved and they're serving. They're in a small group. They're fired up. They're attending all the time. And all of a sudden something happens in life. And then they go from in the center of the church and the community and being supported and growing, caring for others. And they take a step out and now longer they're not serving anymore. And then after things happen, all of a sudden they don't want to be in small groups anymore. So they get a small group. And then they're not in small group and they're not serving. And then they want to go to church maybe twice a month or once a month. And they start drifting over here somewhere. And then all of a sudden you say, hey, where did Joe go? And all of a sudden you find out he's not in church, hasn't been in church for 3, 4, 5 months. It's a very small step that starts in the center where God has us to grow us. He's designed for us and is in his church. And you can easily, if you're not careful, find yourself on the sidelines and out of God's will altogether by removing yourself from his care. Be very, very careful. I've seen that more than I wish I did. You make these phone calls sometimes to people who have been around and you say, hey man, how you doing? Where you been? We miss you, and it's amazing how sometimes those phone calls are the very thing that people need to say, get back in here. What are you doing? Get back in here. You need to be careful, you need to be loved. We need your contribution here at this time. But here's Elijah, he's not in Jezreel, he's not in Beersheba. He's out in the wilderness now, he's under a broom tree. Disappointment leads to dread, can lead to detachment, and then this, 4th and 5th, can lead to despondency and distortion. Despondency and distortion. Now look at what Elijah says now in verse 4. So he's under this broom tree and he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Hey, what happened, man? Like, what happened? Our hero here has gone to zero. I mean, how does he's asking to die. Now, if there's any question, you don't think Elijah was depressed, I'm sorry, but verse 4 pretty much says it all. Notice this. Notice how much despondency is related to distortion. Okay, a masterful plan of Satan is fill them with enough lies that they can't even think right. They are so messed up in thinking that they start to believe things that are absolutely irrational and crazy. And it's the distortion that feeds despondency, and it's the despondency that feeds distortion. Elijah was unflappable with faith a couple of verses ago. He's unflappable in faith. Now he's questioning his worth, his purpose, and his very life. He's so devastated by unmet expectations, now he considers his life a total failure. You know what's amazing about this? Every single one of us in Christ, in this room, for any kind of health in our lives, we look at Elijah right now. We're seeing him under this broom tree. We're watching him and listening to him say he wants to die, that he's a complete failure, that he's no good for anything. And any of us in Christ, if we're looking at this, we're like, Elijah, what are you doing? Elijah, can't you see me? Elijah, can't you see? God is so for you. He loves you. He saved you. He's used you. Elijah, man, just look around. God is completely over your whole life. Get up, man. You got something to live for. All of us can look at Elijah right now and we can say that if we have half a spiritual mind. But here's the thing. Here's a great biblical counseling tool for right now. The very thing that you're trying to say to Elijah right now is the very word you need to say to yourself when you get in the same place. Because it's just as true for you as it's true with Elijah. The same word that you can see so clearly for Elijah's life right now is the word you need to see for yourself when you find yourself in those places of great spiritual discouragement, that God loves you too, that God is for you, that God has not left you, that God has used you, and God will continue to do so for the rest of your life, not to mention all of eternity. That is the biblical truth of the gospel that needs to be preached to ourselves on a daily basis. That you have to literally, at these times, you have to identify the lie of Satan, and you have to take this lie and you have to crash it and trash it and smash it and throw it in the trash. And you got to take the lie, get rid of that, now replace it with what is true. Let's just say you're here right now. They say your father, you're here right now, and you're like, and you hear this voice says you're a failure, you are no good, you haven't done anything, you're worthless, you haven't had any success, you'll never amount to anything. That's all a lie. That's all a lie. That's not what God is saying. Not ever, ever, ever is God saying that. Jesus Christ is not saying that to you. That's a lie from Satan. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You take that lie and you destroy it, and then you replace it with truth. You're like, yeah. I may not have it all together, but I have Jesus Christ and I'm a child of God and he has set me free from my sin. And there's never a time where I'm too far away from God to be used of him, to be restored and strengthened and see great victory in my life, whether it be a dad or a husband or just a man who wants to serve the Lord with my life. There's never a time you are too far away from God's grace. And that is truth. That is truth. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is truth. And you take this truth and you preach the gospel out loud to yourself, in the car, in the shower, at home, where you are, at church, out loud. Satan, get away from me in the name of Jesus Christ. I have been saved and Jesus Christ loves me and he will carry me to the finish line forever. That is the truth of the gospel. You must say out loud to yourself every single day. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. And it's the truth that Christ has given to us. And this is what Elijah needs right now. And God's gonna be very tender with him. Just imagine this. Elijah's asking to die. Imagine if his request was answered. There'd be no whispering of God next chapter as God restores him. There would be no Elisha being mentoring all the ministry that came from his life in that regard. There'd be no chariots of fire. And the whole chariots of fire is he doesn't die. He's asking to forego the ride on the chariot of fire into heaven. You crazy, Elijah? But see, aren't you thankful sometimes that God doesn't always answer yes to what we ask of him? Hey, loved ones, be thankful for the no's as much as the yeses. All right, like learn to trust God more than you trust yourself. I must have, I must have, I must want. We don't really know what we're asking for. Learn to trust God with the no's as much as the yeses. And I love when it says here in verse 4, he says, God, it is enough. Now, the reason I love that is because I resonate with it so deeply. You know what is enough really means? He's saying, God, I can't do this. Enough, God. I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't know about you, man, but I said that a lot. With tears in my eyes and my face to the ground. I can't do this, Lord. It's too hard. You made a mistake at the wrong person. The battle's too intense. The enemy's too strong. I can't see. I can't do this, Lord. I resonate so deeply. In fact, you know, I never saw this verse in this way before. I've never seen it like I've seen it this week. And it encouraged me so greatly to say, we're not alone in this. When you're in that place of total despair and saying, can I keep going on? And you say, God, it's enough. I can't do it. I can't do it. You know what happens? You know what happens? When you're in that place, I'll speak for me. You're in that place, and sometimes I get most excited when I'm most discouraged. Because when I'm most discouraged, I have learned to know it's when I'm just at my end and I'm just about to fall apart completely and I'm crying my eyes out to the Lord all by myself that no one sees. It's just as that moment that God says, it is enough. And God ends the pain and God ends the struggle and he comes in with his presence. And he fills me and he restores me. Why? Not because I deserve it, because he's awesome. Because he's a loving God. Because he loves me so much and loves you so much. And he comes in that moment and the tears go from, I can't do this. The tears go to, I can't believe I get to do this. I can't believe I have a God who loves me so much and cares for me so deeply. That's what you start to see. And this is what Elijah starts to see now as he continues on in this journey of spiritual discouragement. The presence of the Lord is starting to overwhelm his life. Number three is this: I must believe in the deliverance of depression. I must believe in the deliverance from depression. You know, verse five is one of my favorite verses. Seemingly, it doesn't say much, but to me, it says everything. Look at this in the first half of verse five. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. That's it. You know how much I love that? And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. You're like, why is that exciting to you, Robbie? Well, when your thinking is distorted, when your heart is despairing, when your soul is deeply troubled, sometimes, loved ones, sometimes the very, very best thing you can do is go to bed. The very best thing you can do is get a good night's rest. When I'm in my most difficult times, I am thinking so crazy. It's so irrational. I'm so tormented by the enemy. I know it's not right, but I can't get to the place. It's like I'm allowed to be in this place of tremendous difficulty. And if I speak, I feel like I'll sin every word. If I make decisions, it's going to be disastrous. And I have learned the hard way to say at those times, the best thing I can probably do is just to be quiet and to lie down and go to sleep. Why? Here's what I've learned: because tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow is a different day. And here's what I've had to learn too: the way I feel in my most difficult moments, I will not feel this way forever. That is a lie. Satan tries to say, you will always be this way. You will not change. Your whole life is falling apart. Your whole ministry is being undermined. You are a fraud. And I say, in Jesus' name, be silent, because tomorrow is going to be a new day. And sure enough, you go to sleep and you wake up and it is a new day, a day of new mercy and grace where God meets you again. And he says, my child, let's walk together again this day. That is exciting. That is so needed to understand. And I love it. It's not here by accident, man. It's not here that he slept by accident. He was in a total, he wanted to die. And God didn't grant that wish, but God did grant him a good night's rest. Learn to know, tomorrow's a new day. Look at the rest of verse five now. It says he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, here's some turning point right here. Look what God does. See, God doesn't leave you. God doesn't forsake you. God doesn't ignore you. God doesn't cause you to be there on your own. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. Okay, I'm praying you're seeing what I saw this week right here in verses 5 and 6. Look at God's grace. Look at God's kindness. Look at God's love. You're like, how? Through his provision, through his nourishment, through his sustenance. Elijah wanted to die. He had totally given up. God's like, sleep. And he wakes him. An angel wakes him. And he gives him a meal. But notice, not just any meal. A hot meal. Hot meal. Cake on hot stones. An angel was baking Elijah a cake. And a hot cake. And water. You know what he says? He says, arise and eat. Don't ever take for granted God's provision in your life. Don't ever think God has left you. Don't ever think you are beyond God's favor and blessing, because you will be awakened with a hot meal. It's just God's love. It's just, he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to do that, but he does. And he doesn't have to do it to you today, but he will, because he loves, because he's so kind. Because he loves so much. And then he says, and I love this. He says, arise and eat. And then he drank, and then he lay down again. Elijah, in his hardest moment, he says, eat, drink, rest. I love that. Because God knows what his servant needs. Notice what God isn't doing right now. Notice God isn't going, get up, lazy. Notice God isn't going, what's wrong with you? Get to work. Come on, faith boy. Show me some faith. He's not doing that. Notice God's not saying, you know, what's wrong with you? I asked you to do something. No. God is eat, drink, and rest. Because our God is so full of grace and love. You know, if you're here today, and some of you are, you're here today, and you think God is a finger-pointing God, you know what I mean by that? God's like, you disappoint me. You should. God has never, ever, in Jesus' name, ever think that again. Don't ever think that again. This legalistic God going, I'm so disappointed with you. You're not praying enough. He never, ever does that. This is a God of the Father returning, the Son returning to the Father, prodigal Son, open arms, full of grace and love. And the Father again today, Father again invites you to his grace, his love, and his mercy because of his Son, Jesus Christ, because of all that he has done. This is what the Father is doing today. Don't ever see God as a God pointing a finger at you. See, the reason we want to do things for God is because we've been loved so much. See, that's why. This is why God does this. He loves us that we might love him in return. It's about love, man. It's the reason we have conviction. The reason we love holiness is because of what God has done for us. Notice in verse seven, and an angel of the Lord came. Now, the phrase angel of the Lord, this is by commentators, this is discussed that it's a possibility. This is the pre-incarnate Christ. Like with Abraham, like in the book of Daniel, this could be the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus. And the angel of the Lord came. It's a special title. A second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. Look at that, hey, look at God's practical, tender. I pray, guys, caring for you and where you are right now, where we are right now together, the practical nourishment and care of our God. Verse 8, and he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the food for 40 days and 40 nights to Hor, Mount Sinai, the Mount of God. Amazing, amazing. This angel of the Lord is basically saying, you can't do it, but I will do it in you. Here's some food. This will give you strength for your journey. Just a few takeaways as we see here, this path of spiritual discouragement and deliverance from this. Notice what we're learning here is God's tender love is God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, okay? God will not allow you to be tempted. Tempted is what it says in Corinthians, tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, I don't think that means in life we won't be given what we can not bear. Because my whole life I can't bear, you know what I'm saying? Like my whole life I can't do it. But I think it's the temptation to give up in a life that is hard, that God will always provide a way of escape. And he did it right here. An angel comes and touches Elijah and says, here's a hot meal. It's beautiful. Understand this too. Our most complex times require our most simple truths. The biggest truth we can hear even in our most difficult times is Jesus saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always to the end of the age. Here's another takeaway. The Lord will give me enough to make it another day. The Lord will give me just enough to make it through another day. And this is what's happening here with Elijah, man. He wanted to end it, and God's like, nope. I'm gonna give you enough. I'm gonna strengthen you. I'm gonna restore you. I'm gonna love you. I wrote this down too. I wrote down, even when I'm faithless towards God, he remains faithful. Even when I'm faithless, God will always remain. Okay, Elijah's faith has hit the toilet, right? It's hit the tank. It's just not there. And then God comes in and God is like, my child, and again, see the practical love. My child, here's your strength. Here's the Lord. Here's what I have for you. And so, how many of us here today, life has ups and life has downs. How many of us struggling in different ways? Here's what I want you to hear right now. I want you to hear the love of God. I want you to know the tender provision and kindness of God. And I want you, I pray, by the God's Spirit, you will feel the knowledge that God will not leave you, that he is with you. I want in some way, I'm praying right now, there will be hot meals presented, spiritually speaking, to his children who need it so much. And to know that your God is capable of anything and he is not pointing fingers, he is opening arms. Will you turn your doubt to belief? Will you turn your hopelessness to hope? Will you turn your straying from returning?
Well, we're anticipating at the end of such a serious message that maybe God is working in some of your hearts, even as you listen, even as you sit there right now. And we would just encourage you that today, if you're hearing his voice, do not harden your heart. Please check us out online. Go to liveinthelight.ca, maybe even download a copy of today's message, or phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Reach out, take hold of the freedom and the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all today from Live in the Light. May the Lord bless you all.